And it's a fascinating story. Now, Jane is with the Colorado branch of Eagle Forum, and she had actually had an opportunity to interview some of the students at Columbine High before the shooting. And so I'm going to let her really tell the story. She knows a lot better than I do. Jane, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan, for having me on again.
Well, why don't you just give the background. What was it that you had actually filmed some interviews with one of the students there long before the Columbine shooting?
That's right. With Colorado Eagle Forum, I was conducting a workshop on the use of subliminals in children's school books. And this young lady came up afterwards and said, Mrs. Schindler, you don't know the half of it, of what they're teaching us in school. And her father was a physician, and when they began to tell me about what was going on at Columbine High School, back in the 80s, it was just a shocking story. So I asked the young lady if she would be willing to be interviewed on tape, and then we would get this tape out to Eagle Forum members across the country. She was very willing to do that. We went to their home. Her siblings were there. They also shared their information as to what they were being taught at Columbine. And her father, being a physician, didn't realize what he was subjecting his children to, in that Columbine High School, very prestigious school, every professional person would want their children to go there because it was the newest and the best and so forth. And when his daughter began to tell these things that were happening in their classes about teaching death education and taking them to graveyards to do grave rubbings, and they were to draw pictures about death, and whether it was their English class, their math class, their history class, it didn't seem to matter. The focus was on death.
And what about suicide? Wasn't there a lot of emphasis on suicide and focusing their attention on suicide and talking about suicide?
Absolutely. And Kara, the girl we interviewed, she herself tried to commit suicide, and her father, fortunately in time, he caught her in time, and he intervened. And at Columbine, when in one English class, they had three kids try to commit suicide, and one of them was successful.
Now, this was basically a planned program. It was specifically for Columbine, wasn't it? It was an experimental program as they were doing this, integrating into all the various classes, this planned program of emphasizing death and the macabre. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, it would be, because Columbine, of course, being an elite school, you get the first of these programs to come down from the national NEA and all of the grant programs.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Jane Schindler. We're talking about this experimental program that was carried out at Columbine High School, and this was in the 1980s. This was long before the shooting, and of course, this was quite obvious as Mrs. Schindler talked to one of the young women who had been through this class, had contemplated suicide, and realized the sickness was being foisted upon her. This was an attack on the minds, the very hearts, and the souls of the children carried out in public schools, but didn't happen accidentally. It was part of a planned program. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes.
All right. So now, we have any idea what this started? Did it start in the early or late 80s? When did it start?
I would say probably late 80s. I was talking recently with Congressman Tom Tancredo, who used to be a civics teacher, middle school civics teacher, before he entered the political arena, and he remembers that the introduction that he taught in his class was Man, a Course of Studies, and he didn't like it, he said, because it was so depressing.
No, but why would they do this to the minds of the children? There had to be a purpose behind it.
Well, there's money involved. in whether you're going to sell the curriculum or whether you're going to dispense the drugs to for the counseling of the kids, or on and on.
It would almost sound like they were intentionally trying to create mental problems with these kids.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And after Columbine, let me back up. With Tara Becker, and she had tried to commit suicide. Her father was very alarmed, was very concerned, and then there were reports in the newspaper how that Jefferson County, Colorado, where Columbine is located, just happened to have one of the highest teen suicide rates in the nation. And her father was quite alarmed. So after our video went out across the country about death education, there was a reporter from the Atlantic Monthly viewed the video, did a story on it, which led to 2020 picking it up and going, wait a minute. And so Tom Gerald, Barbara Walters, decided that they would just find out if this was the correct video and what these people were saying. So they went out across the country, and they said, to much to their horror.
Hold that thought for just a minute.
Okay.
We'll be right. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening, of course, is Jane Schindler. We're talking about a project that the Colorado Eagle Forum did, and where they put together a film. And about what year was this film done, the first film?
About 89,
about death education, about suicide education, about what was being taught in Columbine, apparently in schools across America, focusing the attention on death, Now, certainly the children learned more about death than they did about Demosthenes, far more about sex than about Shakespeare, mm-hmm. far about Marilyn Monroe than they did about mathematics. Mm-hmm. They were teaching them, they were altering their perspective, and today, of course, they're learning far more about environmentalism than about algebra. So, this is not happening by accident. That's why, if you love your children, don't put them in government schools, because no matter how well motivated some of the teachers may be, they are forced to teach according to the rules, and there are people who put those rules together who have an entirely different worldview than you and I do. So, pick up the story from there. Anyway, the people from 2020 saw your video, they went out, they actually went to schools across America, and what did they find?
Well, as I said, they were so shocked to find that it was very prevalent throughout the country of death education, where kids were being taken to, these were grade school children that they showed on their program, taking grade school children to mortuaries and having them pick out their caskets and to cemeteries to do grave rubbings on the headstones, and then you sit around in the circle and the teacher would say, well, who died last in your family? And if it was someone very close, these children are very, very emotional, very upset, and they cry. And then when the bell rings, it's like, okay, turn it off, go to the next class. You've really upset these children.
And I think you've done it intentionally. And they have no right to do this, and yet they're raping the very souls of our children. People have to understand what's going on across America. Now, did the expose by 2020 have any impact on this, or did it still continue going on?
No. I mean, it was the play, the Ain't It Awful game, and that they showed this on national TV and said, this is happening across the country. Oh, my goodness. And that was the end of it.
Sure.
Well, then, Natera had graduated from Columbine, her parents removed the other children from Columbine, and I believe they put the younger ones in Christian school. Well, then after, our video had been around the country, well, when April 20th, 1999 occurred, and Tara was again asked for an interview, and said, Tara, what do you think about what's happened at Columbine High School? And her response was, are you surprised? Did you think it would get better? What's changed? And they've only added more to it, in that with the violent video games, Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold had been able to actually alter the game of Doom to fit their high school.
Now, could you explain what the game of Doom is for our audience out there who probably doesn't understand some of these games that our children are playing?
Well, it's a game, to my understanding, that you're going to... The purpose of the game is to see how many people you can kill. And so what they did, and again, these were bright boys, and that they were able to take a computer and take this game and alter the hallway, I mean, to add to it the hallways of Columbine High School. And so they practiced for weeks on how to, which hallway, how many kids would be coming down, where they would be going, you know, how to shoot, where to shoot, and of course they had planned to blow the school up with the bombs that they had put in there. They had planned a great deal more destruction than actually happened.
Of course, there was a tremendous hatred, and wasn't there a tremendous hatred of Christianity? Or wasn't this one of their major targets, the kids who were Christians?
Yes, but look at the type of materials that are confronting our children today. So much of it is anti-parent, anti-authority, and of course, where does that authority, the ultimate authority, come from? You know, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Creator. And of course you're going to be angry at that. Even in the biology classes, they were talking about evolution. And
we can't mention God in schools. We can't even have a Bible in schools. Of course, you can have a Bible when you're in prison, but you can't have a Bible in schools. Why not? Because they want to destroy the faith of these children. They know exactly what they're doing. And the Supreme Court justices have voted to do this, knew exactly what they were doing. They just don't want the parents across America to know.
Right. Well, one of the boys, underneath his long black trench coat, they shed their trench coats when they, you know, had used all the things that they brought into the school that they needed, their bombs, their guns, their bullets, and so forth. Well, then they shed those coats. Well, one of the T-shirts that they had on the T-shirt, it said, natural selection.
Now, that's, of course, that comes from Charles Darwin, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, but there were other boys involved with the trench coat mafia there at Columbine,
yes.
Weren't there?
Yes.
Now, were any of the others in on, or at least partly involved in what happened that day? Do we have any idea?
Well, it's my belief that there were other children involved. Everyone, of course, when they saw what had happened to the parents of Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold with all the lawsuits and everything, I mean, it was... you know, we're not going to talk. We're not saying anything here.
But a lot of the evidence was destroyed. I know that I was in Colorado not too long ago and picked up a newspaper, and they were talking about how all the records had been destroyed, and people were saying, why want to destroy the records? These are the court records. Oh, we can't have this. They all got to be destroyed. What was that all about? What were they trying to cover up? What was the police force trying to cover up and the sheriff's office?
I think that we're looking in the wrong direction here.
Oh, I know that, but there were things that the government was covering up too, weren't there?
The school wanted to focus the attention on everything but the school.
In other words, the education that really was the basis for this.
Absolutely, and they did not want any more investigation. They didn't want to talk about Columbine. They didn't want to talk about what was being taught, and that was the huge cover-up far as the video that Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold made of for their class project with school equipment. They went to the mountains, they made these videos, and they were very violent, very graphic, and these videos were shown in class.
And they were with guns, and they were talking about the shooting people and things, right?
And so when the other kids were asked, well, my goodness, where are the red flags in the school? I mean, these boys were terrorizing other students. They were constantly in trouble at the school. And, you know, why didn't somebody say anything about these horrible videos? And the other kids said, well, all the kids' videos were like that. They were either about sex or death.
About
so
sex
you know
or about
that they're,
death?
Pardon?
About sex or about death?
Right, right. And so this is what they were focusing on.
And you actually have an interview in your video about a young man who was one of the victims who was shot there. And he was just talking about the sex classes, you know, and the emphasis on sex and sex and sex and sex. And he really didn't want this at all, but he was offended by it. But this is what he was being subjected to day after day in those classes at Columbine.
Well, we asked him, Mark Taylor. He was the first student shot at Columbine numerous times. And Mark lived and will have to carry the scars of that day with him for the rest of his life. And we asked Mark, Mark, tell us about a typical day at Columbine High School. Did you know Eric Harris or Dylan Klebold? I mean, did they have a vendetta against you? And he said, no, he didn't know them at all. He knew about the trench coat mafia, but he did not know these boys. So it wasn't, he was just the first one in line to be shot. And so we asked him, Mark, tell us about a typical day. And he started telling us about his first hour class, which was a health class, and about the sex education that was being taught there, and how what they called a sex spurt was brought into the class. And he said this man brought his little boy with him, and he's talking about all this graphic sexual stuff, and a girl was told that if she would put a condom on a dildo that she would receive an A.
A plus, I thought it was.
It could be. And so she did. And the other kids were laughing and snickering at all this. And, you know, his next hour class was English, and all the stories that were, it was just nothing but the macabre, you know, as Edgar Allan Poe, everything is just death, gloom, and doom. There isn't anything uplifting at all that in one of a class day or a school day that he described.
And he was smart enough to realize this wasn't right, but, you know, I suspect he didn't bother to tell his parents, or you know, because they probably wouldn't have understood what was going on. But I will tell you, I've seen some of the books of my granddaughter read in a Christian school, and they, you know, after reading that book, I was ready to commit suicide myself. It was one of the most, you know, sort of a story with no hero at all. The hero was a drug dealer who ends up committing suicide, and every character there is depraved. Some were just more depraved than others.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you give children a book like that in a Christian school? Of course, it's read in a public school, so that was a classic. That's what they told me at the bookstore. Oh, this is a classic today. Well, no wonder our kids are so turned up.
Well, and who decided what's a classic? Mark Taylor had to read Harry Potter for his English class.
Harry Potter, and then, of course, it's all about witchcraft, and a real introduction written by a woman who's researched witchcraft, and, of course, that's what Harry Potter's all about, mm-hmm. introducing young people to the other world, the other dimension. We're going to be right back here in a moment with Jane Schindler talking about what really happened at Columbine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Ms. Schindler is telling us a little bit about the interview with this young man. Was he paralyzed at all?
He was for a time, partially. He has regained all movement, but he probably will need other surgeries in the future. This young man was so offended by Harry Potter, and he said he started reading the book, and he said he was mesmerized. He just couldn't put it down. And after he'd read it, he went to his mother and he said, Mom, this book is just pure evil.
Right. And that's
said,
what.
Well, I thought Harry Potter was for grade school children. And so that his mother apparently asked the teacher, why are you having high school students read Harry Potter? And they said, oh, because everybody is, and the movie's coming out.
Everybody's reading it. This is a book delving into the occult and the macabre and really introducing many people to witchcraft. So was mother a little upset about that?
Yes, she was. And with our video, when Mark's interview is in our video, And when he talks about this sex education class, it upset some parents that, oh my gosh, why would you put something that graphic in your video? And we said, wait a minute, it's okay for the children to be taught this in school, but parents are offended to hear about it?
Well, you know, the thing is, we hear all this talk about pornography. Pornography on the internet, child pornography. And I will tell you, the greatest child pornography is what goes on in our schools, but we never talk about that, because that's in the name of education.
Well, you were talking a minute ago about the classics, and you know, who decides what is a classic, and you know, how does that come about? Well, a lot of the research that we've done with Eagle Forum has to do with children's school books. So as we did our research, we were just amazed to find that Shel Silverstein was sought out by Harper & Row Publishing Company to do children's books. Now, Shel Silverstein is a pornographer for Playboy. And in his own words, he said he did not know why they sought him out. He did not think that he could do children's books, but after they showed him, you know, what they wanted, why, of course he could do children's books. Well, Harper & Row is connected to the American Library Association, and they're the ones who pick which books are on the most bestseller list and so forth. So they create their own classics, their own authors. So Shel Silverstein, a pornographer, has put out a book called A Light in the Attic. Well, all of his books, without exception, are full of subliminal sex objects. It is all sexual innuendo. All you have to do is look at any of his adult works and look what he does in the children's books. And it is so, I mean, if you weren't familiar, when you first looked at the book, you would not catch it.
No. And, of course, if you see anything there, you're going to be accused of just having a filthy mind. Well, I will tell you, I looked at one of those books after you mentioned it, and it is there. It's so obvious. This is the poisoning of the mind of our children in schools all across America. And, of course, I got this from a little girl who goes to a Christian school, and she thinks this is the most wonderful book without realizing what it's doing to her mind. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Jane Schindler. We're talking about a man named Shel Silverstein. Silverstein, is it? Silverstein.
Silverstein.
Silverstein, who is a pornography, who was actually recruited by Harper & Row, to do children's books. And those children's books are full of subliminal, and most of them are not very even subliminal. They're very graphic sexual descriptions, and of course just this obsession with it on the occult and on demons and all sorts of horrible things, but the sex is there. The sex is there. Mm-hmm. You see, the effort is to corrupt the minds and the souls of our children. They know exactly what they're doing, and the average Christian out there has no idea. In fact, I know of major Christian ministries in the United States who are saying how wonderful the book Harry Potter was, because after all, the children enjoyed reading it, and don't we want our children to read? And of course, the reply would, well, how about reading Playboy? How about reading Hustler? Would you want them to read that? And, well, most people would be offended. And yet, of course, I think in many respects of why Harry Potter is far more dangerous, because it takes the children not around the periphery, but right in the very heart of the occult movement. So anyway, you know, a really fascinating interview with this young man. And, of course, we're talking about a video that we do offer. It's called What Really Happened at Columbine, What Really Happened. I guess that's the title, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And, of course, this young man gives graphic descriptions of how his whole day is immersed from the macabre into sex. And it isn't just in one class. It's class after class after class. They know what they're doing.
Well, when your children cross that threshold into the public school system, they become a dollar sign. Whether it's the deal that the school board has made with Pepsi Cola or Coca Cola to put all of the vending machines in, or whether your children are given a survey and they ask the children what magazines do mom and dad read, and all these personal questions, and then the surveys are sold, and the money comes back to buy things for the teacher's lounge, and the children sell candy, and yet your taxes are just exorbitant to pay for all the schools, and yet so many of the parents today are complaining that, oh my goodness, school starts and we've got these list of things that we have to supply for the school, like toilet paper and paper towels and Kleenex and glue and all of, and cleaning products that children now have to bring to school to help support the school.
I think it'd be better off to get the kids out of the school and homeschool or get them into a Christian school, but you even got to watch the Christian schools, I will tell you, the private schools, because they've infiltrated them with some of this same macabre influence.
Well, with going back to the boys at Columbine, and they were obsessed with Marilyn Manson music, the violent videos, and they were the ones who terrorized the other kids.
Now, this is Eric and Klebold and Harris.
Right, and then their friends in the trench coat mafia. And if someone upset them, they used to, they talked about the little deeds that they would do to anybody who perhaps looked cross-eyed at them in the hall. They would drive through their lawn, put super glue in their door locks, break their windows, put off smoke bombs, firecrackers, all kinds of things to terrorize people. And so the story went out through the media that the jocks had picked on these guys. Well, the opposite was true. These boys terrorized the school and the other kids in the school. The other kids that we interviewed talked about how that they aggravated the teachers.
Well, why didn't somebody do something about them? Why didn't the school administrators do something and try to bring some discipline into the school and let it, instead of allowing these bullies, the trench coat mafia, to do what they were doing?
Well, that's a good question, and the principal just didn't want to talk about it, and he kept focusing the attention away from the school, from what they were being taught, to every bunny trail out there. I mean, the police should have got there sooner, blah, blah, blah. But since Columbine has happened, you know, we have all the new laws about teachers must now have teen terrorist training. And just like fire drills, the teachers have to teach the kids how to hide under their desk.
That's a good way to approach it.
Oh, isn't it? And then they've got all the metal detectors the kids have to go through now, and all the surveillance cameras that the kids are subjected to. I mean, it sounds like a prison. And yet that's the answer instead of discipline and not focusing on things that would upset the children.
Maybe we ought to introduce something radical like morality and concepts of right and wrong and horrors, maybe even God. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Jane Schindler, who's with the Colorado Eagle Forum, and she has put together a wonderful video. It's called Columbine, What Really Happened. We will carry the video. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you're out across America listening to us, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And so these boys are becoming increasingly violent. They certainly are. I've made this video, and nobody's really offended by the real violence in the movie. In fact, you even show part of that video in your video.
Yes. You know, the boys, when they went to court, they were finally caught breaking into a car. And their parents, or their fathers, both the boys' fathers went to court with them. And the boys were ordered into anger management classes. Now, in an anger management class, Eric Harris, we know for a fact, was ordered, court-ordered, to be put on Luvox, an antidepressant medication. Well, since Dylan was underage, his autopsy was never, ever released. But we don't know. I mean, they court-ordered one boy, but we don't know about the other boy. We can only assume. And these boys were consuming a great deal of alcohol. Now, they're underage. This is something they're not supposed to be doing. Do you think they're going to tell anybody how much alcohol they're drinking? And one of the things that when you're put on a mind-altering antidepressant, you are to abstain from all alcohol. Well, these boys, not only were they drinking alcohol, but we know for sure one of them was on Luvox. We assume the other one was. And the side effects are delusion, depression, ideas of grandeur. I mean, how much more grandeur ideas could you have had than what their plan was, to blow up the school? They were going to escape, get on a plane, fly into a building. I mean, they really were delusional in their thinking. So then when they're about to graduate, and who are they going to terrorize if they don't have the students anymore? They're going to be going their separate ways. And Eric had planned to go into the military, but then when they found out that he was on Luvox,
hold that, we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're talking about, of course, Klebold and Harris there at Columbine, and the one who was on Luvox wanted to go in the military, and then they said, oh, well, you've been on mind-altering drugs, you can't. Do you realize, of course, that all of our children on Ritalin, we're talking about 8 million of them, would be ineligible for the military because they've been on mind-altering drugs? And, of course, this infuriated this one boy, didn't it?
Yes, it did. And to go on with Ritalin for just a little bit, since we've brought it up for your listening audience, so many children in grade school, I mean, it's just escalating of how many children are being put on Ritalin. Well, Judy Garland, when she was making The Wizard of Oz, was put on Ritalin. So they knew 50 years ago that Ritalin would stunt your growth, would suppress your appetite, and Judy was beginning to become a young lady, and they did not want her to appear more mature for this movie. So it was at that time that she was put on Ritalin. And her daughter wrote a book called Me and My Shadows that described what life was like having to live with someone who was drug addicted.
And, of course, this was Judy Garland's first introduction to drugs, put on at the studio, by the studio, when she was making Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Jeannie calling in. Hi, Jeannie. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I do. You know, I remember reading an article when this happened at Columbine regarding Hillary Clinton was very interested in what happened there at the school. And I was going to ask your guest if there is any link between that program at Columbine and the governor's school that was created by Clinton when he was governor, and also Hillary Clinton.
All right. Do you know anything at all about the curriculum there at Columbine and these governor school programs where they have for our best children all across the country sent to these summer schools where they work on their minds?
Not to my knowledge. Those boys were not involved with that. The governor schools are certainly, that information is certainly out there, but it was much more than that. These children were being inundated from all over. I mean, the curriculum was coming from this place and that place. And back to Congressman Tom Tancredo. He was appointed by President Reagan to the Department of Education. He was the Region 8 Secretary. And he said that looking at the overall plan, he said, no wonder kids are depressed. He said it wasn't just one class that was depressing, all of them were. And they're coming at these children from all different aspects. And again, he said, it was the dollar. It's the dollar, whether it's put the kids on Ritalin, whether it's the surveys, the experimental classes. You know, a school will buy a set of books that would be, the school board would purchase them from, you know, to go from grade 1 through the 12th grade. Well, they might keep that set of books for 1 year, 2 years, and then, gosh, they've got to buy a whole new set of books.
But I know those books are $60 or $80 each. I mean,
yes,
it's a fantastic price. You know, at really about 90% profit on that. They could turn those books out at $15 if they wanted to. Why do it when, of course, you can funnel money into the publishers? I think it's just total corruption.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, and so he said, you know, you look at it from that point of view in that, well, this book is obsolete now. You don't get to buy the whole new series. Well, it's a tremendous market out there. And if the children weren't there in the system, they wouldn't have anything to sell.
Yeah, they wouldn't be able to finance Mr. Silverstein. Anyway, did you have anything else to say, Jeannie?
Yeah, I wanted to mention about Governor's School because after the cream of the crop of the children went there, there was one student that did commit suicide after attending the Governor's School. So you might want to look at the similarities between the indoctrination between Columbine and the Governor's School.
Okay, fine. Well, thanks very
good
much.
Good point. Yeah. Very good point.
Okay, thanks, Jeannie. Okay, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We're here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Our guest this evening is Jane Schindler. Of course, the video is Columbine, What Really Happened, and we do carry that here at Radio Liberty. And that's Columbine, What Really Happened. And, of course, it's a fascinating story. It's a very discouraging story when you realize what they're doing to the minds of our children all across America. And, well, I'm sure there may be money involved in this, but I personally believe that there is people there who would change the outlook of our children. I think that to attack children's moral concepts and modesty, their fundamental beliefs, but that's what education is all about, is to change the beliefs of the children. And look how well they've succeeded.
Well, and let's go just a step further, Doctor. Michael Moore of Fahrenheit 9/11 fame, he first arrived on the scene to make his big mark when he made a video called, or movie called, Bowling for Columbine.
Right.
And it was supposedly a docudrama. Well, he got the same boy that we interviewed, Mark Taylor, and another young man, and he promised them the moon and gave them a all-expense-paid trip back to the headquarters of Kmart. And they staged a protest back there, and he had the media there, and he told Kmart, we have brought your ammunition back to you in the bodies of these boys. And they really caused a commotion with Kmart, and then they went to a store, and they had the boys buy ammunition, and they weren't asked how old they were. And so he made a big, big production of this, and As a result, Kmart will no longer carry any ammunition. Well, why doesn't he want to do something about propane bottles and the people who sell tacks and nails and firecrackers and things like that?
Because Mr. Moore is not a reputable individual. He has a political agenda, and I don't like Michael Moore.
Well, and so the boys received no proceeds from his video. His thesis was that the last thing Eric Harris and Dylan Pillebolt did before they went to the school and went on their rampage was they went bowling. And that's what must have affected them.
Right. Well, you know, his whole theme was the guns are bad. Well, it's not the guns. It was the hands that they were put into, and it was the students who were victims of a terrible form of education. Let's go to Terry, who's calling us from Sun Valley. Hi, is that Sun Valley, Idaho, Terry?
No, Sun Valley, California.
Sun Valley, okay, fine. Well, it's good to have you with us.
One of the things I see when she mentioned Marilyn Manson, a tie to the fellow you mentioned a few weeks ago named Aleister Crowley.
Right, I just heard Marilyn Manson's the Crowleyite, right?
And I was also wondering, because I've seen this in the magazine, that some of the police up there had, when they had their bulletproof shields, had NATO written on them.
As what? NATO.
Had anyone heard or confirmed anything like that?
What written on them?
NATO. In other words, they were in the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. They were the armored piercing vest from NATO. I don't know anything at all about that.
Again, all of the effort to refocus attention onto anything other than what was happening in that school, I think, does a disservice to the children that are there, because the children that are there now, all the counselors have been brought in, and we've been told that Columbine is more dangerous now than it was before.
I'm sure it is. Anything else, Terry?
If I can find that article, I will send copies of it to you.
All right, fine. Thanks so very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. And let's go to Karen calling from Monterey, and again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Karen. How are you doing?
Hello. Fine, thank you. How about yourself?
Doing really great.
Great. Well, I'd like to point out that at least one of the boys' father was a member of the intelligence community, and these boys were programmed to be Manchurian candidates.
Well, now, Karen, can you really document that?
Well, I don't have documentation for it, but it's something that is overlooked in many of the discussions about these boys. And the stimuli is much more direct than school curriculum, because all the children were exposed to the same curriculum, and they didn't go out and kill people. They may have been depressed, and they may have been given stimuli that they shouldn't have been given, but they didn't go out and kill people.
No, but they weren't on Luvox either.
Well, that's true. And another thing is that these boys were programmed to do what they did as part of the gun control agenda, and also to condition the children to have a prison mentality, because they're turning the schools into prisons by treating the children as criminals, and they haven't even committed a crime, and so they have to go through these draconian measures just to go to school. And it's all part of an agenda. But anyway, that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you, Karen.
Okay.
Let's go to Bill calling from Michigan. Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Hi. Wondering if this curriculum from Columbine is a federally sponsored uniform curricula throughout the school systems of this nation.
All right. The question then, Jane, would be, is this sort of a national curriculum? Is this a federally encouraged curriculum or financed curriculum? Or is this sort of something that the schools just pick up on their own?
Well, again, it's what they have to choose from, and most of what they're offered all falls along the same kind of category.
Has anybody thought about suing the school for educational malpractice?
You know, that's been brought up many times. One of the things that you can do that, for example, we were talking about Michael Moore's movie Bowling for Columbine. A lot of the high school students and college students are required to watch this video in class and write a report on it. Well, we would encourage people to take our video and say, all right, you're showing one side, let's show the other side. And we think that that gives them a very, very good tool to use. And one of your other callers talked about why did Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold do these things and the other kids were subjected to the same curriculum and they didn't. We need to look across the country at various school shootings, and the combination that you have is that the children obsess on the video games, they have the drugs, the mind-altering drugs, there is usually always alcohol involved in stimuli, and then the different killers across the country, those three things have been common in their actions, and then they go to school. And our question was, why will they go to the school to kill their friends and their teachers? Why not go to the mall or the movie house or someplace like that? No, they choose the school. Now, there's a reason for that. This is where their anger is coming from. This is what's fueling it. And when you realize that by law, your children, until they're 16 years old, are required to attend school 5 days a week and for 9 months out of the year. And the anger has got to really manifest itself in that you ask yourself, how much of this could you handle, that if every day and every day and every day it was just depression, 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 there's no one good, you have no heroes, your country's bad. It's very difficult atmosphere to be in.
Okay, I think that's very well put, Jane. Bill, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Yes, she brought up the subject of video games, and I recall there were independent experts who testified, I think, that the video games that these people were watching constitute some sort of a desensitizing mechanism for killing.
You're absolutely right, and this is what the military does, because ordinarily we're conditioned not to kill people, and so the military actually gets these games and uses them to condition young recruits how to kill, and then they took those same video games and released them to our kids, exactly the same games.
Well, what I'm going to do, Dr. Stan, I'm going to order her video, and I'm going to start attending the PTA and the Board of Education meetings. I'm going to be armed with any and all information I can acquire from you.
All right, fine. Well, I'll tell you what, this is an excellent video. It's called Columbine, What Really Happened. And then, Jane, do you have a website where people can get more information?
Yes, you can go to www.eagleforum.org. That's our national website. And it's better to go through there because they have the information from all 50 states.
Well, that would be just eagleforum.org, and of course that's Phyllis Schlafly's organization, excellent organization. They do a tremendous amount of good. Okay, anything else you'd like to say, Bill?
One last thing.
Okay.
Did anyone investigate the background of the parents? Because I've learned from other interviews that oftentimes the parents involved in the CIA, for instance, in their mind control programs, will actually bring their children into the whatever Manchurian Candidate or sex slave mind control program the CIA is running. I was wondering if anybody had looked into that at all.
I know nothing at all about that. Do you know anything about it, Jane?
No, I've heard those stories, and I have a tremendous amount of problem with that concept, because these boys, up until they entered Columbine, were very normal children.
And I think that sometimes we can get distracted. I think the most horrible thing really is to realize what they were teaching these kids, and
right,
focusing their attention on sex and death and suicide and death,
yep,
and sex and death. And I'll tell you what, it's a terrible thing to do to a child. There's nothing more important than a child's minds, and I believe they're raping our children's minds in public schools across America today. Thanks so much for calling, Bill. Well, we're just about, I think we've just got three or four more minutes. We're going to have to take a little quick break here, but of course our guest has been Jane Schindler. She is from the Colorado Eagle Forum. If you want to get more information on this, of course, you'll want to go to the Eagle Forum website. That's www.eagleforum. Is that .com or .org?
.org.
Okay. And of course, if you want to get that video, why, you give us a call at, and want more information, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. You can find out about getting the video. We think it's an excellent video, we hope that it's going to be around for a good time. It's been around for quite some time. We only recently found out about it. You hang on. We'll be just wrapping the program up in just a minute, Jane.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this evening has been Jane Schindler from the Colorado Eagle Forum. And Jane, what message would you like to leave with our listeners this evening? What did you learn after making this film and having worked with the children both before and after the Columbine shooting?
Well, my concern is that there's more of an effort going on right now. I understand that United States Senator Gordon Smith from Oregon has introduced legislation to have more death education introduced in the schools.
That's what we need. We've got Jared calling from Ohio. Jared, we're just about out of time. Quick question or comment?
Yes, about the Columbine school thing, I don't think really the kids ought to be held responsible, even though they did commit the crimes. They should be held responsible for what they've done. But I think the parents should be held more, because that's the environment that they were raised in, and the parents are the ones who, you know, teaches their children, whether they know it or not, when they're young and when they're growing up into their young ages and the teens up to what they've done at Columbine.
Well, let me ask you a question. How much time do the parents, average parents, spend with their child every day? How much time do the teachers spend with that child every day?
I think the teachers spend more time with them than the parents really do.
Absolutely.
And the
schools, you see, the parent has given to the teachers the authority over their child, and of course they're the authority figures. That those teachers have so much more time, and those teachers prescribe what these children read, and eventually how they think. Yes, the parents should be held responsible. I think they're responsible for putting their kids into government schools really not understanding what is going on, and they think they can join the PTA and change anything. They're sadly mistaken. How would you respond, though, to Jared, Jane, because you're on the front lines of this matter?
Let
Jane remark. Go ahead, Jane.
Well, I agree that the parents need to know more about what's going on. And as parents watched our video, they were shocked. As I said, some of them were offended by what Mark Taylor had to say about his sex ed class. And they said, it's okay for the children to be taught this, but you're offended to hear about it? I think the parents maybe should have to go to the school for a week and do what the children do.
Okay, Jared, just a parting thought, because we've got to let you, we're just out of time.
I agree with Jane 100%. I mean, I think in a way that both the teachers and the parents, I mean, the parents should definitely be held responsible for one thing, even having the weapons in the house where anybody could get to it.
Okay, we're out of time. God bless. Thanks so much, Jared. And thank you so much, Jane. It's been a real pleasure.
Well, thank you for having me,
bye-bye.
Doctor.
Well, somebody had called in and asked if anything has changed at Columbine, and the answer is absolutely not. They're still raping the minds of the children there. They're still indoctrinating with sex education and suicide education and death education. They got away with it. Why should they change? Because people don't know what's going on in schools. That's why this video is so important, and why we've had Jane on a number of times. And I hope, we can, many of our listeners will want to get the video, and perhaps we can even have her again sometime, because she's dedicated so much time to this. And of course, there's so many side issues. Were the parents working for the CIA? Were these kids Manchurian candidates? Nobody can really verify that. What we can verify is what they were being taught in schools. And remember, whenever anything happens, they'll always create all sorts of side issues. Why didn't the police go in? What are the police hiding? Well, the biggest, I think, is the most important issue, and I think Jane is absolutely right. It was the curriculum that was being used in that school. And I've been told people will call me and say, well, we know this was a CIA operation. How do you know that? Well, we know because somebody said it, or they heard it on a talk radio program. Well, you have to challenge everything you hear on the radio, everything you read, everything you see. Challenge what you hear here. Ask us to document what we say. There may be an element of truth to it, but I think the major part of this story is exactly what Jane is bringing out. And that is the curriculum there that was being utilized in that school. And then, as one of our callers mentioned, they were having them watch these things put out by Marilyn Manson. Now, Marilyn Manson is a Satanist. He's a singer. If you get our video, they sold their souls for rock and roll, you'll actually see Marilyn Manson singing about Mr. Crowley, Mr. Crowley. You'll see Ozzy Osbourne singing about Mr. Crowley, Mr. Crowley. You'll see the Beatles with their album, and there they have a picture of their idol, Mr. Crowley. And you go all down the whole line of all of the rock bands, and they were all into Crowleyism. But don't be surprised. Kinsey was a Crowleyite. Harry Hay was a Crowleyite. Robert Alton Wilson, who started the pornography movement, was a Crowleyite. Timothy Leary was a Crowleyite. And most Americans don't even know who Aleister Crowley was. The title for the video is Columbine, What Really Happened. And then, of course, our 4-tape set on Aleister Crowley. We recommend that to you. And then, of course, you really need to get the video. They sold their souls for rock and roll, either the 4 or the 10-hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. Well, this is the time when I need to remind all of our listeners, Radio Liberty is listener-supported. Primarily, we look to you for your help as we reach out across America trying to educate the American people about what's going on. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. Now, you can actually listen to our Internet programs 5 hours a day at Radio Liberty, and then on the Genesis Network, and then on the American Freedom Network. You can hear our shortwave programs 4 hours a day. So we have the ability to reach people. It's up to you to get people to begin listening to our programs. I don't care whether they disagree with us to begin with. Some of them really think that we're quite mad or insane, but after a while they're afraid that we're not and that these things really are going on. And the truth of the matter is we're involved in a spiritual battle for the hearts and souls of the American people, and most Americans don't even know the battle is going on. So remember our website, it's radioliberty.com, and then let me remind you, we're having an all-day session, an all-day seminar here on the 6th of November. That's a Saturday on the North Shore of Monterey Bay, one of the most beautiful spots in the whole world, and we're really blessed to live here. And if you need a list of the local motels, why, we can be glad to get them for you. Hope some of you can come. Bring your friends. Hopefully we'll have people from all across America, from all across the world, who really believe, as I do, that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. So again, if you'd like to give us a call, make your reservations. Lunch is going to be served. Of course, that's 1-800-544-8927 for the all-day seminar. And then pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you. Good evening. Again, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those that the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the stations you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-800-544-8927. 888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And, of course, we ask you to hold your calls, however, because we have us on the line, Nick Belaich. Is that the correct pronunciation, Belaich?
Belaich.
Right. And Nick, of course, works with a group over in Watsonville, just across the county from where I am, on the fluoride issue. And, of course, many of you may not be so interested in the fluoride issue. After all, maybe you're in an area where you don't have fluoridated water. Or maybe you are in an area where you already have fluoridated water and you don't realize that you should be concerned about it. But let me tell you that there are real problems with water fluoridation. Now, in our last hour, we were talking about polluting the minds of our children, emphasizing sex and suicide and sex education. But today we're going to talk about something that is really, really much more, or I should say equally dangerous, and that is putting a poison into the water, a poison which actually attacks the fertility of people. We know from extensive scientific studies that it will actually decrease fertility in areas. The higher the fluoride level, the lower the fertility, the higher the lower the fluoride, the higher the fertility. We know from studies in India how it attacks the testosterone level of males. Now, a lot of males will have real problems without realizing that the fluoridated water does affect their masculinity. But you're never going to hear about this from regular channels. And there's so much about the dangers of fluoride. And, of course, we're told, oh, it's about the children, about their teeth. Well, Nick has been on the front lines of this battle. And, Nick, tell us what got you involved in being concerned about water fluoridation.
Well, it was the oddest thing. I knew absolutely nothing about it, say, 3 years ago. Watsonville City Council was having a meeting to discuss it. And they wanted public input. I went to listen, thinking that the anti-fluoride crowd would really get their clock cleaned by the dentist, so-called medical professionals. And I ended up seeing the exact opposite, where it was the medical professionals that were obviously didn't know what they were talking about, and it was a person from the Keepers of the Well, Jeff Green, who I believe you've had as a guest before. He was there, and everything he was saying was making sense. Meanwhile, everything that the medical professions were saying, you could see it had holes in it.
Well, I'm so glad you're able to see through that, because most people are really impressed when you have an MD or a DDS after your name. And I'm not saying that they're not good people or really very sincere, but they're sincerely wrong because they've never heard the other side. I never remember going to any medical meeting in the 40 or 50 years I was affiliated with medicine where I ever heard anything bad about fluoride, and yet all the scientific studies are there. All you have to do is get hold of them and read them, and of course, then you begin realizing that we actually have an organized program of poisoning people here in America. So we're going to be back with Nick in just a moment or two. Then we begin exploring what we know about the fluoride, about water fluoridation, about the fact that they're adding arsenic to our water and lead to our water, and the fluoride there, of course, helps it to get into our systems, into our minds, into our brains, into our bodies. Fluoride is certainly one of the most active of all the elements, and is the single most active element on the periodic table. And actually, it's so poisonous, we use it for rat poisons. If you look on your toothpaste tubes, you're told that if you have any more than just a little bit, why, go to a poison center. But we're putting it in our drinking water. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Nick, of course. Nick, well, anyway, you went to this meeting, and tell us what happened. You heard these doctors and dentists who, it was quite apparent to you, this is an outside observer, they didn't know what they were talking about. What was it that Jeff Green said that impressed you so much?
Well, the main point really was is that it's that water fluoridation has never been proven to work. Ingested fluoride has never been proven to fight tooth decay. And he was able to prove that with actual statements from the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. And it was kind of odd that the medical professionals, rather than coming out with proof, in fact, instead they basically went on a name-calling attack.
You know, you don't like the message, why attack the messenger, huh?
And that's exactly what they did, and I felt that was rather strange, and as the more I listened to the meeting, I noticed more and more that the medical professionals were really unable to answer the key questions. You have to remember that I came in there with knowing nothing of the issue, absolutely nothing, other than knowing that there was this concept of adding this element to the water. That's all I knew of the issue, and allegedly it was supposed to fight tooth decay. Now, that's been now over 3 years.
Hasn't it been a fascinating time to suddenly realize that everything has been led to believe maybe a lot of it isn't true?
Well, all of it is true on this issue. But what ultimately happened was is the council did vote to seek money to fluoridate despite public opposition. Really, the people that were supporting the fluoridation that attended that meeting were all out-of-towners. There was no locals that came forward and said, please put this junk in my water. It was all out-of-towners saying, you need to add this to the water.
Well, anyway, it's for the children, it was for the children, and so then what happened?
Well, ultimately, the city did receive a grant which had certain conditions with it, and then that allegedly kicks in the state law, but there was a condition in there that was requiring the city to pay 10 years of fluoridation, which would fly in the face of what the state law says. So what happened, we gathered signatures to put it on the ballot, not to prohibit fluoridation, but actually to regulate it. Ultimately, what we were doing is calling their bluff. The criteria that the citizens voted for, it did pass despite the heavy money raised on the opposing side. The citizens voted to impose two criteria for anything added to the water to treat humans.
Hold that thought for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Nick Belichick, and we're talking about water fluoridation. And he went to a meeting, a town, city council meeting, heard the discussion of the fluoridation issue, the doctors and the dentists on one side, talking about it's for the children, who could be in favor of dental caries, showing these pictures of children. Probably from areas where they did have water fluoridation and they had terrible teeth. The pictures they showed actually were children with baby bottle tooth decay from having a very, very high level of sugar and sugar water, which does create tooth decay, but has nothing to do with water fluoridation. They just throw that out to confuse people. And then, of course, when Jeff Green from the group that opposes water fluoridation spoke and was able to demonstrate that the FDA and the EPA have never authorized water fluoridation. All they did was call names, and I think Nick's remark, you know, that how all they did when they couldn't defend their position, they tended to demonize Jeff. So I picked the story up from there. So you collected money, you actually got the going, and what happened?
We gathered the signatures, put on the ballot to let the citizens vote on whether they want regulations imposed upon water fluoridation. And the citizens voted for that, and it's really quite simple. All the citizens wanted was if the city was going to fluoridate, that they come forward with a substance that has been proven for safety and effectiveness by the FDA, which is the only agency in this country that can do that, and that the second criteria is that the substance be free of excess contaminants like lead and arsenic.
And, of course, what they're putting in there does have lead and arsenic in it, because that's how the fertilizer industry is getting rid of their toxic waste. It would be so expensive to try to dispose of it otherwise. So they came up with this scam to put it into drinking water, and not only do you get rid of it, now they even can charge for it.
Exactly.
Now, who were these people from out of town? You commented that there was nobody from locally who really wanted this. This was all out of town that wanted them to put something, toxic substances, into your drinking water, but not into their drinking water, because they weren't from Watsonville where you lived.
No, most of them were the medical professionals in the area, but none of them actually live in the city of Watsonville. A lot of them are on well water, or they might be in a neighboring city. But it would easily make a person suspicious when you're seeing that someone is telling you what to put in your water, which isn't going in their water. And that's what was happening there. It was predominantly medical professionals, some people from Sacramento. There was the state rep coming forward and saying how great it is.
Now, there's a state representative of the California Medical Association?
It's from the, it's a person that they contract out from the Department of Health Services.
Okay.
So-called water fluoridation expert.
All right, fine. And, of course, all of these experts, maybe some of them honestly believe this, but that's because they've never read the scientific literature. On the other hand, I will tell you that many people are afraid to speak out. I talked to a professor at the dental school up in Toronto who had originally been an advocate of water fluoridation, and then he began to do the research, and he realized that we were poisoning the population. And when he began to talk about that, they threatened him, they threatened his family, and he said, I can't come on your radio program. I'm afraid. I don't want to lose my job. You know, you can go up on the Internet to see what I've written, but I cannot come on your radio program because I've been threatened. And that's what this is really all about, and that's a little scary in America, where you don't dare speak out because you've been threatened.
Exactly. I had actually received, I was receiving calls during the campaign, the election campaign, which I was running the campaign. And so I was receiving most of the calls that came in for it, and there were some messages that were left that were threatening me, which was strange.
Well, of course, but let's talk a little bit about how this stops caries. Now, everything is said, well, you know, if we just put the water, fluoride into the drinking water, why children would not have dental caries. What do the scientific studies show to verify that?
There isn't any that can show that. I don't believe that there is, that they have had any studies that show that this stops dental caries.
Well, I think
fluoride.
They point out to certain areas where there's a lot of fluoride in the water that the children have, you know, less dental caries, but there's also very, very high levels of calcium and phosphorus there, and that, of course, is what gives you strong teeth, not the fluoride. In fact, fluoride makes teeth brittle, fluorides make bones brittle, and, of course, when I practiced orthopedics, we used to see these pictures of the people who came from areas where there were fluoridated water. Their bones were a dense white, like ivory, rather than the regular consistency. They were bowed, they broke easily, and, of course, we know that women who actually drink fluoridated water during as they go through the menopause will have somewhere between, well, almost double, actually, the incidence of hip fractures 10 years down the line. This is well known. So why are we poisoning the elderly women to actually prevent caries in children when it really doesn't work? The reason there's less caries is because of better dental hygiene, because children are brushing their teeth, because they're using dental floss. But certainly all of Europe has given up water fluoridation. They know what the American people don't know, and that is it's a dangerous poison.
Well, it's true. The other fascinating part is, it would be nice if they were to do follow-up studies on cities that are fluoridated. For example, Los Angeles has only been fluoridated for a very short time. It would be nice if they did some studies showing what happened. Did half the dentists go out of business? I mean, obviously they're not going to show that because that hasn't happened. Has anybody received a tax rebate now? Because what you'll see the proponents of fluoridation do is they'll come forward and they'll say that it'll save taxpayers so much money due to the fact that the state doesn't have to fund repairing the teeth of the children. But has anybody received a tax rebate in the city of Los Angeles due to the fact that the water's been fluoridated?
Well, you know, in New York City, they fluoridated the water for a long time.
Oh, probably.
And actually, in New York, why, they have a tremendous amount of dental caries. That hasn't cut down on the dental caries in children at all.
And the same with Chicago. Chicago, San Francisco have been fluoridated for decades. Decades. Meanwhile, San Jose, other than a small part of San Jose and San Diego here in California have not been fluoridated. And I would dare the proponents of fluoridation to show me that the teeth of children or of adults in San Diego or San Jose is worse than that of San Francisco or New York or Chicago.
Well, you know, I think it's really so interesting, Nick, that if you remember, of course, the pediatricians were always telling parents that they should give their children either fluoride drops or fluoride candy or something like that, really just starting at birth, because they just needed that fluoride for happy, healthy teeth. But recently they've changed those directives, haven't they? The American Association of Pediatrics, American Academy of Pediatrics, and the American Dental Association. Do you know what they advocate now as far as fluoride for infants up to 6 months of age and for children from...
Zero. Absolute zero.
Because they were found they were poisoning the children. But they can't tell you that now because you look awfully foolish and you wouldn't trust them. And then from the age 6 months until 3 years of age, why is it... How much are they to take?
It's about a quarter of a milligram.
They're not to have more than one cup of fluoridated water. Now, if you have a child between 6 months and 3 years of age, in a fluoridated area, you're not to give that, according to the American Academy of Pediatrics, according to the American Dental Association, don't give them fluoridated water any more than one cup of fluoridated water a day, because they're going to get fluoride toxicity.
That's right.
The frightening thing. We've actually poisoned our children. 60% of children in areas where they have fluoridated water now have at least one tooth that is shows the evidence of fluoride toxicity. But what about the rest of their body? What about their brain? What about their endocrine system? What about their bones? Because if it can hit the teeth, it's going to hit the bones as well.
That's true. See, what was interesting for me was, again, I came in here into the issue cold. Originally, I spent most of my time actually studying the pros and cons of it. I got into the medical studies, and remember, I'm a carpenter by trade, but I was still able to understand this stuff. I went into the studies and read it. I went through so many medical studies, both pro and con, and it was amazing. You kept seeing the same thing, that fluoride accumulates in your body. So you're not seeing something immediately, but it is accumulating in your body in the same way that the lead and the arsenic, and you're having the long-term effects here, for example, like have you said, in regards with hip fractures. And there's very good studies on that. I've read those. But what happened was is after the election, which was November of 2002, I saw that I needed to move on to the next step, that I already convinced the public of what they needed to do was they needed these regulations imposed. Then what I knew that the next issue was going to be a legal challenge. So I moved on and actually delved a lot of time into studying the actual state law itself, thought I had it on my side, and ultimately what happened here was everything started getting sabotaged. The state came in threatening the city. The city wanted to act like they were representing the citizens. The city started rolling over. There was a court case held. I was denied the right to intervene into the court case, even though I was the only Watsonville resident trying to come forward. And the court, the Santa Cruz County Courts, ruled against the city, thus ruling against the will of the voters. And the strange thing was is that the state legislators got together in order to change the state law.
So that no longer could the people in the local community determine whether they were going to have fluoridated water or not. That was going to be imposed on them from Sacramento as a legal thing. They were going to be forced to drink fluoridated water when all the scientific studies show it doesn't act when it's taken internally. If it acts at all, it would simply act within the mouth, locally applied. And there, I think it's only because it kills the bacteria. It's so toxic. And you certainly don't want a lot of fluoride in your teeth because it makes them brittle, it makes them discolored, and of course, but anyway, we'll be back in just a moment with our special guest and welcome your calls from across America. Once we can convince the American people they're being poisoned, maybe then they'll be concerned. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Nick is our guest today. And so, basically, you were saying now that the state legislature was going to do an end run around the will of the people. Supposedly, they represent us, but they really don't represent us. They represent people who have put up a great deal of money to force water fluoridation on the populace. So, then what did happen in Sacramento was they began working to circumvent the will of the people.
Well, they did what they've done, they just did this recently within the last few weeks, is it was a gut and amend bill. And for people that aren't acquainted with that issue, that's another new thing that I've learned, is they bring a bill back to life that's been lying dormant for a while.
Yeah, a bill about anything that doesn't have to have anything to do with water fluoridation.
Exactly. This one had absolutely nothing to do with it. They brought the bill back to life. The reason why they do this is to bypass the normal public input that would come in. You would have probably a month of normal public input on an issue like this. When they do a gut and amend bill, it's put on the fast track. There's very little public input. They throw out absolutely everything that was in the previous bill because they're saying they're amending it. So they remove all the previous language and they add new language. Within it, they added wording to the effect that there can be no local ordinances passed, that the state law would now preempt them if the ordinance attempts to prohibit or restrict fluoridation. So they're taking the total will of the people away.
In other words, basically they're going to forcibly then fluoridate every community in California, and so it passed both the State Assembly and the State Senate. It's gone to the governor. What's the governor done with it?
We are waiting for the governor now, and this is why I'm so happy to have this opportunity to talk, is that I'm urging people to contact Governor Schwarzenegger and request that he veto Senate Bill 96.
That's SB 96. So,
that's correct.
And, of course, how can they get hold of Governor Schwarzenegger?
His phone number is 916-445-2841, and they could press option 7. That would get them to the right person to talk to.
All right, 916-445-2841. Call the governor. Does he have a fax? Does he have an email?
Yes, he has a fax. It's also area code 916- 445-4633, and the email is governor@governor.ca.gov.
Governor@governor?
Yes, .ca.gov.
All right, fine.
And I'm urging people to contact them actually as soon as possible. Tomorrow, starting tomorrow would be super, and request the veto of Senate Bill 96, that's SB 96, and there's a couple of reasons they can give. The main one being it does take away the people's right to vote on an issue, and that's very un-American. That's beyond belief to say that someone does not have the right to vote on an issue. In addition, it was a gut and amend process, which is all that is doing is showing that the legislators had something to hide. And the other one is that the state is going to be determining what are reasonable costs in regards to the issue. So what will happen is local residents will be forced to pay extra for something that they don't even want.
And, of course, it's not that they don't want. It is actually very dangerous. It is a poison. One of the active ingredients in many rat poisons is fluoridate. And we'll talk more about this in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY out across America, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Our guest this evening is Nick, and of course he's been talking about the fact they're trying to get legislation through at the state level to override any local desire one way or the other for water fluoridation. And of course, but from my point of view, this would be great. We actually sell a filter that'll take the fluoride out of the water, but as a moral individual, I've got to do everything I can to fight this because it's wrong and because there are many, many people who are not going to buy a water filter, a fluoride filter. They'll be expensive to use in the long run. And even though you should have one, you do not want to drink this fluoridated water, and you certainly don't want to give it to your children. What you have to understand is that it actually impacts on the brain, and there are studies that show you lose 10 to 15 points of your IQ. Children lose them in areas, at least two studies out of China that shows that they actually have had serious problems with the brains. We know the active ingredient in Prozac is a fluoride, and we've got Theodora calling us from Santa Cruz. Hi, Theodora.
Hi. Well, I was real happy to hear that Nick was on tonight, and
I wanted to make it easier for people listening to get the information they need to let the governor know.
Okay, go ahead.
In the SBC, which is the telephone company for this area in California, and I'm not sure, but in the Smart Yellow Pages telephone book that you have, they have a kind of a turquoise blue section that has a lot of kind of extra information. And on page 8 of the turquoise blue section, it's after the white section but before the yellow pages, they have government officials.
Mm-hmm.
And they give the full, you know, all of our officials, whatever area you're in, they'll have the appropriate information. But they, you know, list the governor and all his phone number, fax, and email, and address, and the same for your state senators and state assemblymen. And even though they've already voted, I really want to encourage, if you're going to make one phone call to the governor, make another two to your state senator and state assembly person and have this conversation with them, because they are so bowled over by the influence of the dentists. They don't hear from people like us, the ones who are voting against the fluoridation, and they need to. Locally in our area, John Laird, who is our state assembly person in the Santa Cruz area, and possibly Watsonville, I'm not sure about that, did support SB 96.
Well, I know that apparently Maldonado, who's running for state senate, opposed it. So,
well, and if they opposed it, good. Give them some strokes for that, right. And remember that come Election Day. But John Laird needs to know there's more than just corporate Democrats who vote for him. And Bruce McPherson is going out, but, you know, every conversation you have with somebody of who's in these positions, it goes a lot further than just talking to, you know, it's good to talk to your neighbors, but we can't leave out these people out of the loop.
Well, even if you're not in California, why, you can certainly call that 916 number that we gave, 916-445-2841. Call the governor and just tell him how you feel, because believe me, if they can put this through in California, they can put it through all across the country. And, of course, this attacks your brain, it attacks your endocrine system, it attacks your reproductive system, it attacks your bones, and it doesn't do a bit of good as far as your teeth are concerned.
And you said the reproductive system, because that's really the key to understanding what's happening here. This is population control.
You know,
we don't want to call it that, but that's what it is.
And in fact, we have, any of our listeners would like to see it, we have something put out by Family Planning Perspective. It was a chart that he published in 1970, and of course they're part of Planned Parenthood, and they're talking about how we're going to control the world population, why we want to encourage homosexuality, we want to encourage abortion, and we want to, of course, to put something in the water that will lower fertility. Well, they know that fluoride does that. They just don't want you to know that they're going to attack your reproductive system. And if you're male, they're going to lower your testosterone level and destroy your sperm. Anything else, Mary?
Well, it also results in higher infant mortality.
Right.
So some of those babies do get born, but they don't survive because they've been weakened by this long-term exposure.
But, of course, it attacks their brain. It attacks their brain, and this is the thing. And a lot of these children with attention deficit disorders and other disorders or mental defects, really, they're directly related to that fluoride. That's what's so frightening.
Well, thank you, Nick, and thank you, Dr. Stan.
God bless. Thanks so much. Okay, we've got Mary calling. Mary calling from Albany. Mary, can you hang on here for just a minute?
Sure.
Okay, fine. We're going to be back with Mary calling from Albany, New York. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or out across America, right here in the Central Coast of California, at 464-8295. And this is such an important subject. You need to have the information. We'll be writing a newsletter on this, I think, not this month, but next month. So you'll have all these facts and figures. We'll put together a syllabus, and you can help us get the word out across America. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Nick Balesic, and we've got Mary calling from Albany, New York. Hi, Mary. How are you doing?
Hello, great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Do you listen? That's pretty late back there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like 12:30 in the morning.
All right, well, it's good to have you with us. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, question. This is all quite disturbing to me.
It ought to be, because the fact that you've never heard this before reflects the degree of control that exists over what the American people think.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, there are a lot of people across the country that are ignorant about a lot of different things, and they like to keep people in the dark because people don't know what questions to ask, you know?
Okay, fine. Well, do you have access to a computer?
Absolutely.
All right, keepersofthewell.com.
.org.
I'm sorry, keepersofthewell.org. And, of course, there's another one. What's that other site? I can't think of it offhand. But anyway, go to keepersofthewell.org, and you'll get a great deal of information there. And we'll get to the other websites here in my newsletter. Anyway, do you have a question or comment for our guest this evening?
Yes, a couple of questions. One, who would I ask to find out if there is already fluoride in the water that I'm drinking now, because it's city water? And number two, is it possible for companies that bottle well water to put fluoride in there and not label it?
All right. First of all, Nick, what should Mary do to find out whether she has fluoride in her drinking water?
Well, if she's on a public water, she could call the water department.
Right. And that's
the water department would be able to tell her whether they're artificial fluoridating or whether there's some naturally occurring fluoride. You find that a lot of times with the natural occurring fluoride, there are trace amounts, and it is different. You have to make sure. A lot of times the medical professionals like to say that, oh, nature thought of it first, and they want to add a totally different fluoride concoction than what nature thought of. That's what's going on. So you should be able to call your water department and find out on that.
Okay, and then what was your second? You asked about would they have it in bottled well water?
Well, like, in other words, would it be required for a company to put that on a label? If you know what I mean, like if they're putting something in it.
Well, now that you see, the FDA is the government agency that regulates bottled water. So if the fluoride level exceeds a specific amount in the bottled water, it can't be called water. That's what's very strange. You ought to go to a supermarket and look. Not every supermarket has it, but some do, that has water that actually has high fluoride content. And this blew me away when I actually did this, because I was told to. Is that the water?
Okay, our guest this evening is Nick, and Nick is talking about actually going at a grocery store, supermarket, and looking on some of the bottled water to find out it had almost toxic levels of fluoride. How much fluoride did it have in it, you know?
If it I believe if it goes over 4 milligrams per liter, which is four times the amount that they propose adding to your drinking water. But if it does exceed that, it is technically not water. You won't find it in the bottled water department. You'll find it in the health food section of a supermarket.
And let me tell you, Mary, that's in your Coca-Cola, it's in your Wheaties, it's in almost everything you eat. It's on most of your, so many of your fruits and vegetables, because they spray this to kill bugs. And if you don't wash your things very, very carefully, you're going to get a considerable amount of fluoride. And this is what suddenly the American Journal of Pediatrics, American Academy of Pediatrics, and these American Dental Association has found, is that people are getting fluoride toxicity. That's why they've suddenly come up and said, for children between birth and 6 months, no fluoride. And then, of course, from 6 months until 3 years of age, you should only take no more than one cup of fluoridated water a day. Well, how are you going to stop a child from drinking more than that? We're poisoning our kids.
Well, and furthermore, with all the things that you just mentioned, how are we going to know what items have that on them and what don't?
Well, I'll tell you what, you go onto the websites and you'll get a tremendous amount of information. When we have our syllabus put together, you'll have much more information. But go to the web right now, keepersofthewell.org, and you'll find fascinating information there.
And it's very interesting. The point you did bring up, Dr. Stan, is that our entire food chain is tainted now. So, for example, if Coca-Cola is being bottled in a city that uses fluoridated water, it could be clear across the country, and you might be drinking your Coca-Cola in a city that isn't fluoridated, but if it was bottled in an area that was fluoridated, you are receiving that fluoride.
And, of course, the other good websites, fluoridealert.org. That's fluoridealert, one word, .org. Okay, anything else, Mary?
Nope, that would be it. Thank you so much.
I want you to be listening to his program every evening. And, of course, you can go to our website at radioliberty.com, and you can pull down our archive programs, because all of our programs, at least on Radio Liberty, are archived. Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Is this Lois or Craig?
No, this is Craig.
Okay, Craig from Missouri. Huh? What part of Missouri?
Around Monette, Missouri.
Okay, fine. You have a question or comment?
I don't understand. Why can't you just put an injunction against the city and say, until you find out what other sources of fluoride that we are getting in our food chain, if we're not getting enough, well, then you can put it in.
Well,
it can't be that simple.
Nick, why don't you tell Craig, how would you answer Craig? Craig says, let's just put an injunction against the city.
I've been trying a lot of legal attempts, and what's happened is find out that the courts don't want to even give me a chance to have a case. it's been an unbelievable learning experience due to the fact that, one, I was denied entry into a court case on this issue.
And, of course, you were the leader of the opposition.
I was the leader of the opposition. They allowed a out-of-town, so-called non-profit dental foundation to intervene into the case, but they did not allow me. So this is something that's beyond belief, where the court system doesn't want to hear from the local person, doesn't want to hear the facts. Then the state wants to change the law after seeing what points I was going to bring up. They were afraid that if I had taken this issue to another court out of this jurisdiction, that I'm trying to find an honest judge. When I find an honest judge, I will win.
Yeah, but unfortunately, Craig, we've got some pretty determined judges here who are not interested in certainly in what's right. They have a political agenda.
Well, one other thing.
Right, go ahead.
If the cities haven't performed any studies as how much fluoride is already present, why doesn't that make them liable for a class action suit?
But you see, you can't, when they've changed the laws at the state, you can sue all you want to, but they'll throw it out because the state has mandated this, and this is what we're up against here in California, and it's not going to be long before you get this in Missouri, too. This is why we need to get this information out, and we've got all the documentation that this is a dangerous substance. It should not be in the drinking water, and in fact, it shouldn't be in our Coca-Cola either.
Well, if it accumulates in the body, then it must mean it also accumulates in the land when it goes downstream.
Well, it does. In fact, we even have studies up in Washington where it's killing all the salmon. Where are the environmentalists when we need them? And if you listen to our program we did last week with Jeff Green, it should be up on our archives, I think it was last Friday night, he talks about the studies in Washington when they actually found that it was killing off the salmon and killing off the little salmon, sort of like minnows as they are.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Well, right now let's go to Lois calling from Santa Cruz. Hi.
Hi, Dr. Stan. Hi, Nick. Thank you so much for doing this program. There were a number of things that came up when I was listening to it. The gentleman that you just spoke to, we did what he suggested to do for the city of Santa Cruz, and it did no good. We had lists and proof of how much is in Fruit Loops, Minute Maid orange juice, Lucerne milk. We took things off the grocery shelf and had them independently studied and to find out how much fluoride was actually in them.
Okay.
And
what did you find out?
Oh, well, there's a lot, especially in soda pops and beer, and when I have a glass of wine, I call it my fluoride juice because they use the pesticide, the cryolite pesticide on grapes, which is a fluoride pesticide. But what I wanted to make sure, I don't know if it had been mentioned here tonight or not, was that when we bathe in fluoridated water, we absorb a lot more through our skin because it's the largest organ in our body than we ever think about doing when we drink it or eat it, and especially if we hot tub in it.
Right.
And I don't know how in the world you keep from bathing a baby up until it's 6 months of age. You know, I don't understand that. Plus, also, what it does to our water pipes when it goes through our water pipes, since Fluoride is the most negative element there is. It combines with everything else, including the lead from the solder and the copper from the pipes, and what we get coming out of our spigot is toxic soup.
And, of course, in many areas, why it actually destroys the water pipes. And
it does.
The real problem for the local water municipality as far as the destruction of the water system.
And I know, because I worked with the people in the water company that worked for the water labs here in Santa Cruz, and they don't want that stuff, because if you get a drop on your finger, in order to save your life, you have to cut your finger off. Literally. Because otherwise, that's how fast it moves up the body. That stuff is so toxic.
And that, of course, is the concentrate that they're putting in the water.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
All right, fine. Somebody had called in and wanted to know about the Coca-Cola. We actually have anybody out there who wants the documentation on the Coca-Cola. We've got the figures that were actually compiled by the people who've taken all these various substances and checked the amount of fluoride in them. And, of course, there's I think it's about 0.7 micrograms or whatever it is per a milliliter. It's a little less than in drinking water. They're supposed to be, one part per million, and there is about 0.7 points per million in the Coca-Cola. But if you're drinking enough Coca-Cola, you'll get the full benefit from it. And any of our listeners would like the documentation on that part and the fact that it's in the Wheaties and certainly the other... Certainly the other cereals. We'll be glad to provide that. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We'll get that information. And Lois, did you have other information? Because you've obviously looked into this extensively.
Well, I was the leader of the Santa Cruz group.
Good for you.
And I know that, like, say, for instance, a potato. A potato, if you don't peel it, it has 22 parts per million. Or 22 parts per billion, I think it is, and if you peel it, then you get less. But because of the pesticides that they use on our fruit, and they tried a number of years ago to double or triple that amount because they had this stuff they had to get rid of, and a little dab will do it. You don't need a whole, you don't need any more. But it's on our fruits and vegetables. It's,
well,
not just in our produce, you know, the things that are being produced. Factories, it's also in our fruit and vegetables.
I thought really what was so interesting that I've never realized this before is that most plants will not pick up the fluoride from the soil because it kills them. So you're not going to be getting it into the substance, the plant, except that with the lettuce and so many of the other things that are grown, they spray it with fluoride to kill the bugs. And that's how you get the fluoride, unless you wash them very carefully. Why, it's all through the lettuce. Why? Because it's such a poison, it kills off the bugs, and they want to put it in our drinking water.
But you see, when it gets on the leaves think it's like rain, and the leaves will absorb, because the leaves don't know any better.
Then
the root system
doesn't.
Yeah, that's the way I understand it works.
All right, so it actually, then you can't get rid of it.
I don't think so. No. No, you can't really get rid of it. Once it's there, it's there.
All right.
So, anyway, I just wanted to bring up that bathing part because that, you can, you know, maybe you can buy bottled water that doesn't have it, but you got to bathe and you got to cook. And when you cook in the stuff, it doesn't dissipate like chlorine will. It concentrates. And so anything that's cooked, like rice or beans or pasta, anything like that, you're going to have concentrated fluoride. If you cook it in fluoridated water,
and you're
it just
absolutely
gets stronger
right.
And stronger. It doesn't get weaker.
I really think this is criminal what they're doing. Nick, how would you respond to Lois?
Well, she's correct. You would be receiving some through the bathing. I don't believe you'd be receiving that full 1 milligram, but depending on how often you're bathing in a day, sometimes you're getting in hotter areas. People are bathing much more often. They're coming in for a shower. And in your, even if you are, like she said, drinking bottled water, you might make a cup of coffee using your tap water. You're washing your vegetables. You might be boiling your rice, like she said, in your tap water. And remember, what they're adding, what they're proposing to add, is a one part per million. That means like a drop in a bathtub. It's such a small amount, but yet it is so lethal.
And of course, it also has arsenic and lead along with that, doesn't it?
That's correct.
And it just gives you the extra benefit.
And mercury and pond water.
Cadmium.
Nickel.
In fact, you hear the EPA is so concerned about the the lead. Oh my goodness, our children are getting lead poisoning. We got to don't put them in a house with lead paint, and then they're going to put lead in the drinking water, and the fluoride then helps to get it into the brain.
Well, I don't know
and
about
aluminum too.
Aluminum also. I don't know about you guys, but we have a hot tub, and I got an hour or so in the hot tub every day is pretty good exposure to water.
Well, after you've had the water fluoridated for a little while, you won't even worry about all these things. You probably won't worry about much anymore.
No, you won't. Your brain will just be fixed fine. So
and as incredible as it may be, the active ingredient in Prozac is a fluoride compound. They understand this.
They
don't want you to understand this.
Yeah.
It's toxic to the brain, and there are all sorts of studies. You need to get our four tapes out on the water fluoridation. Here, my interview with Philip Mullinex, who used to teach at Harvard until she told the truth, and now she can't get a job anyplace.
Well, also, they use it for anesthetics because it does, it's such a small molecule, it travels very nicely through everything.
In fact, I had two of my friends who were anesthesiologists in this town, who both of them had worked with me over a period of 30 years, and both of them, of course, used these halogenated gases that we use so often in medicine, and both of them died recently of cancer of the pancreas.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, Susan? Oh, anything else, Lois?
No, that's
okay,
it. Thank you. Thank you guys again.
Thank you so much. Let's go to Susan calling from Dayton, Oregon, huh?
Hi. Yes, I have a question. I'm probably pretty ignorant, but I was wondering if you can boil your water and get fluoride out of it?
No.
Okay.
No. But if you're in a fluoridated area, you need a big Berkey or a Berkey Light water filter, and you can't. That'll really take the fluoride out. And
okay.
Of course, we sell these things, but I'm doing everything I can to keep the fluoride out of the drinking water because I don't want you to have to buy one of those just to get the fluoride out of your water. But if you do have fluoridated water, you need something to get it out.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Okay. Bye bye.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye. And right now we've got Roger calling from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Hi, Roger.
Yeah, thanks. And a perfect segue for, I'm hoping, an informed opinion from any of you folks, and that is, can you save wear and tear on your filter, which I think you should use anyway, by pre-distilling the water? Does that leave the fluoride in the bottom, to some degree at least?
You want to distill the water to try to get the fluoride out of it?
Well, before you send it on to the other filter. To save wear and tear on the filter elements and better filtration.
Haven't the slightest idea. Do you have any thoughts on that, Nick?
No, I sure don't. The only thing I was aware of is you have to use the reverse osmosis to remove the fluoride. That's really the only issue, the only thing that I was aware of, how to remove it, actually.
Well, we've got some good fillers that go with the Berkey products that do really a pretty good job, and they'll get 95 to 99% of the fluoride out, but, wouldn't it be far better just not to bother to fluoridate the water? Anything else, Roger?
Yeah, and I guess the Berkeys do have very good fluoride affinity filtering elements in addition to the other cartridges. God bless you all.
Okay, you have to get special, though, post filters to do that, Roger. The regular filters won't do it. You have to get special ones. But thanks so much. And, of course, Nick, we certainly have hit a chord. People all across America are concerned about this subject. I think that if we could once convince the American people that there is an organized effort out there to use this for political and other purposes, why, I think that maybe we just might begin waking the people up on some of the other issues that are going on. Anyway, I'm really so proud that of you that you've taken this under yourself, and somebody's got to be the leader, and this is how it happens. Lois over here in Santa Cruz took on the leadership, and you're taking on over there in Watsonville, and so I would encourage all of our listeners to call or write or fax Governor Schwarzenegger or email him or do all of them, but get the information that he should vote no on SB 96. Because it would be wonderful if we could turn this thing back. And if you don't want to don't argue about the toxicity of the fluoride, he probably doesn't know anything about it. You might mention, of course, it'll decrease his testosterone level, which might really bother him. But what we really want to point out is this is the wrong way to go about it. What do they call it? Cutting amend technique is not the way to pass legislation. And, of course, what we should do is allow the people locally to make that determination, and it should be something that is approved of by the EPA and the FDA, and neither organization will actually approve it, will they?
Nope.
All right.
There has never been any ingested fluoride that's been proven to work.
Okay, fine. Well, you hang on here for just a minute. So this is the time when, of course, we need to tell our listeners out across America, if you'd like to get our four-tape set on water fluoridation, I think it's as good as you're going to find any place you'll actually hear. My conversations with leading people across America that will give you the information you need. Again, the telephone number to call would be 1-888-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We've got a great four-tape set on fluoride. We've got a great four-tape set on mercury. Great four-tape set on aspartame. You need to understand these are toxic substances that are being, of course, imposed upon the American population without their realization what they're up against. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening has been Nick, and of course she's been leading this battle over in the Watsonville area. Did you get pretty good response from the people over there financially? Did they help as far as putting the ads in? Did you get fairly good treatment from the...
Well, we actually ran a pretty much a grassroots campaign. There was one person that paid for the ads and just decided to do it like that. Thus, we didn't concentrate on fundraising. Our opponents definitely raised twice as much money as us, which was all out-of-towners. But we did have a person that came forward and took care of the ads, and that allowed me to devote more of my time of running a campaign as opposed to going out and doing fundraising.
Well, did you think that you helped to educate the people over there as to what was going on? In other words, because most people really don't know about this. It sounds so preposterous when you first hear about it. I mean, how could the doctors and dentists be suggesting something that would be hazardous to our health? So were you able to educate the people and make them realize that these out-of-towners, these carpetbaggers were in there trying to fluoridate their water, but they weren't necessarily trying to fluoridate their own water?
Oh, definitely, definitely. It actually irritated my opponents when I would bring up points like that, that I was even questioning where they lived. But the public is on my side on this issue. They've shown it on the election, and they've definitely shown it in the letters that are still coming into the papers that are outraged in the whole process that's been happening here.
Okay, we got Theodore with one more quick remark. Hi, Theodore.
Hi. Well, I just we wanted to remind you about the, I think you actually interviewed the author, Christopher Bryson,
right.
The Fluoride Deception, maybe to give a little plug for that, because it sounded like you had some new callers who are new to the subject, and to know that there's an excellent book out that's just coming out now, brand new, talking about the original impetus for fluoridation, and it has to do with building the nuclear bomb, and this was the waste product, and how could they sell it to the American people and make it sound good, and people need to know that history, and then they'll recognize, you know, why they have to fight this.
And we've got a great interview with a couple of good interviews with Christopher Bryson, and of course the book The Fluoride Deception. We will be carrying that book as well. That's The Fluoride Deception by Christopher Bryson. Thank you so much, Theodore. I think
and thank you.
Quite God bless. And Nick, I want to thank you so much for being with us this evening. It's been a real pleasure, and I hope you'll keep in touch with us. And whatever happens, you know, this issue cannot die. You know, I do what I do 5 hours a day to get the information out. If I can help you in any way, give us a call, because we do have a lot of listeners over in the Watsonville area, especially our afternoon program.
Well, I appreciate you so much for having me on the show, and just urging people to contact the governor.
Okay, good night. God bless.
Good night.
And I would certainly echo exactly what he's saying. Contact the governor. Contact Governor Schwarzenegger and tell him about SB 96. And does he really believe in the representative government, or does he want special interests that have their own agenda determining what's going on? Doesn't he believe in this in the electoral process, or does he believe in imposing things from above? Anyway, let him know that you're very, very unhappy with this with this whole idea. We've got Matt on the line. I think we're out of time. Matt, do you have a quick statement, because we're out of time?
Yeah, sure do. What is good for Austria and the rest of Europe certainly must be good for our nation. Wouldn't Governor agree with that?
Well, of course, as you know, Austria and none of the countries of Europe fluoridate their water.
Exactly. That's what I mean. They don't do it, so why should we?
You're absolutely right. In fact, we're going to have letters from all of the leaders of all of those countries in our syllabus. Hey, where are you calling from, Matt?
Michigan.
Okay, God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
Okay, fine. And I think it's a good point. They do not fluoridate the water in Europe. They've looked into the science of this. It's only here in America where they've dumbed down our people. And then, of course, you look at this from a spiritual point of view. Why is God allowing this to happen? Well, maybe he's trying to get our attention. But what a terrible thing to attack the minds of our children. And the parents are allowing it to happen because they haven't done their homework. If you care about your children, if you care about the future of this country, understand that they're poisoning us with mercury, with fluoride, with aspartame, with really so many other things. And now they're adding arsenic to our drinking water. And yet, of course, they're doing everything they're saying. Oh, arsenic produces cancer. I talked to a doctor on Sunday at church. He was commenting about so many of the doctors we know that their wife is dying of cancer, or their children are dying of cancer, or the doctors themselves are dying of cancer. It's an epidemic in our society. Why is that? I mean, 50 years ago, there wasn't anywhere near as much cancer as is today. Well, we had a war on cancer, don't you remember? We were going to do away with cancer, just like we had a war on drugs. We got more drugs, more cancer, but that's another subject for another evening. This is the time we need to remind you out across America that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do it. We do 5 hours every day. Go to our website. You can listen to our program at least 3 hours a day there on the Internet, and then get the links to our ZCN and American Freedom Network sites, and you can listen 5 hours a day, and you won't get a thing accomplished, but you'll get a lot of information and help us to get it out across America. Look at the various books and the items that we have, and the 4-tape sets are there on the website. And if you can get them, fine. You can certainly pull down our programs archived on the Internet. And, of course, if you are in an area of fluoridated water, why, you may even want to look up the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light, because you can get post filters that will take the fluoride out of your drinking water. That's RadioLiberty.com is the site you want to go to. And again, of course, the 4-tape set on water fluoridation, the 4-tape set on mercury, the 4-tape set on aspartame, and, of course, the book Excitotoxins going in the background of NutraSweet and MSG that they're poisoning us with because it attacks the brain. It attacks the entire nervous system. They know that. They just don't want you to know that. It produces brain tumors in animals. So why are they putting it into our drinks? We're going to actually get cut back on the number of calories. And yet, of course, the scientific studies show that if you drink a lot of NutraSweet products, you're actually going to be eating more and putting weight on. But they can't let you know that. We hear about the epidemic of obesity. We never point out that it's actually being produced by things introduced, and we're talking about NutraSweet, aspartame, MSG, the products they're putting into our food. They know that. The last thing they want you to know to verify it, the book Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. Well, please, at this time, remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and then pray for America, pray for revival, pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please remember to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.